You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about the three secrets, really, to a loving, successful, and happy marriage. Yeah, I know that we've heard this a lot before, and I know that you've probably listened to podcasts, you listen to radio shows, or you've listened to Dr. Laura, or you've listened to someone tell you about the secrets of a happy, healthy, and successful marriage. But we're going to bypass all that we've talked about in the past. We're going to bypass all that rhetoric, and we're going to actually talk about the three secrets that if you do this and you understand these secrets, you will have a successful and happy marriage. It's just the way it is. And a lot of times people don't get to the brass tacks of things. They talk about these highfalutin ideas or, you know, you should go on a date. Or you should be more like you were when you first started dating. And some of us sit there and go, well, that's great, but I'm 15 years in. I got 3 children and you're telling me I need to go on a date and that's going to save my marriage? No, we're talking about real secrets tonight. We're talking about the things that really actually help and will actually make a marriage last the test of time. Because it's not until we really peel apart certain things and look at various relationships in our life to understand how we can better our marriage. Because in order to really think about bettering a marriage or keeping a marriage intact or having a successful and happy marriage, we have to look at other relationships, the way we handle other situations in our life, and figure out how we can actually cornerstone those ideas and take that concept into the marriage. So let's talk about the first secret. The first marriage secret that if you do this, you are on your way to an awesome marriage. The first thing you want to do is you want to treat your spouse the same as you treat your friends. And I know some of y'all are out there like, well, I don't really treat my friends that well. But I'm talking about most of the time, we treat our friends exceptionally well. And we treat them well by listening to them. And I know this sounds odd and maybe shocking, but think about it. When was the last time that you were with your good friends and they were talking about God knows what? Okay? It didn't have to have any intelligence. It didn't have to be that important. But you listened. You actually cared. That is the one specific secret we're talking about right now in keeping a marriage, because you want to treat your spouse the same as you treat your friends. And you can do this by beginning to give your spouse as much leeway as you do your friends. Think about it. How much leeway do you give your friends? How much leeway, how much credibility, how much just acceptance do you give your friends? Think about it. When was the last time your friend came to you about some crazy idea, some crazy scheme, where you actually sat there and listened? Had that had been your spouse, you would have cut them off in the first minute and a half. Honey, you're crazy. This is never going to work. This is some, you know, crazy concocted harebrained scheme that you've come up with that has that much validity. And you know what? God bless you. God bless your soul. Honey, I've heard enough. I'm going to turn the TV up a little bit, okay? It's been great talking. But think about that same harebrained concept was hatched out of the brain of one of your best friends. And it could have been the stupidest thing you've ever heard. The absolute stupidest concept you've ever heard in your entire life. But what did you do? You sat there and listened. You listened to every word they had to say. And that right there is a golden piece of information. Some people might call it a golden nugget. It is a nugget for marriage success. Think about it. Let me paint the picture for you. Next time you come home after work, and this works really well, especially for all you men listening. This is going to buy you points, okay? You're going to get some major points that you never dreamed you would have. You're going to get some major points that you never thought were an option. I mean, these are points. And the way you're going to get these points is that when your wife comes home and y'all start talking about how the day was, and she's like, you know, honey, I wanted to run something across. I wanted to run something by you real quick. Do you have a second to listen? And you're like, instead of like, no. And you're like, yeah, I got more than a second. Yeah, go ahead. What did you want to talk about? And she starts talking and she's waiting for you to put the kibosh down. I've had enough. This is the craziest concept I've heard in years. Instead of that, what do you say? This is interesting. Tell me a little bit more. And you actually listen to what she has to say. And you do it without making faces, without making googly eyes, without going, oh, golly. Jesus, this is all I had to listen to today. I've had a heck of a day, and I come home and I got to listen to your scheme, your harebrained scheme you've concocted. No, instead you listen, and guess what? You go, that's interesting. You don't have to sit there and lie about how great it is, but guess what? You sat there and listened. And that's going to win you points. You know, the second part of this, too, about treating your spouse like you treat your friends, is you want to listen to them and you want to encourage them. You want to encourage them like you encourage your friends. This is massive. This is key. This is big time. You want to encourage them like you do your friends. And I know when I go out with some of my friends, I mean, I encourage everybody. I encourage my friends. And I think a lot of times we don't encourage our spouse because we just kind of get in this mode of operandi of just kind of going through the motions. They're there all the time. When you wake up, when you go to bed, when you're trying to make dinner. I mean, like a lot of times we take them for granted because they're always around. And think about it. When you actually encourage your spouse, you're encouraging somebody in your family nucleus to do good. You're encouraging them to be successful. And it's kind of like you're encouraging yourself, right? It's kind of like you're encouraging yourself to a degree. Because when we encourage people, especially in our household, it changes the house dynamic. Okay? And that's what's so important, because we can encourage our friends, and that's wonderful, and this is great that we do it. And we're supposed to do that, because if you're a real friend, you encourage your friends, right? But just like your spouse, isn't your spouse supposed to be like one of your good friends? I'm not always saying that your spouse is going to trump all other friends. But I am going to say that, you know, in order to have a good marriage, you got to be friends with your spouse, because things change. You know, things kind of go away. Things ebb and flow. Some things come back. Some things don't. And in order to have a lasting relationship, we got to have a friendship. We got to have a level of friendship when it comes to marriage. And in order to really facilitate that friendship on an amazing, amazing level where your spouse feels good and you feel good, is by treating them like your friends. Allowing them leeway, encouraging them, you know, patting them on the back ever so often, sending a nice sweet text, congratulations, or you can do this, I'm impressed with you and I know that you're going to pull this off. Think about it. How many times have we not done that? How many times have we kind of glossed over the fact that our spouse is going to go get a new job or doing something big or landing a big client or whatever it is, and we kind of forget about the fact that we need to encourage them. So try it this week. Try it as soon as you can remember and when it seems appropriate. The next time something big's going on, you don't have to call and make a big to-do about it, but you can send a nice text and say, hey, I care about you, I'm proud of you, and I know this is going to work out. Think about it. I mean, when we actually care and we show that we care, other people realize we care. And that changes everything. Changes the whole dynamic. So when we're treating our spouse as one of our good friends, we're accepting them, we're giving them leeway, meaning that we're not putting so much pressure on them, like they have to live up to a certain level. And I think that's one of the things that we do wrong, is that we put other people on a certain pedestal where they have to perform at a different level than everybody else. And when they screw up, because they're human, they're gonna screw up, you get mad. Why? Why? You don't sit there and put your friends on a high pedestal where they got to follow all this, and if they break one of these or screw up, then you're going to give them the silent treatment for a few days. Going to sleep on the couch. Come on. And a lot of times we put ourselves in a position of basically sabotaging our marriage because we don't treat our spouse like a normal human being. We treat them like some sort of god or something. Where they gotta like figure out all this stuff, and they gotta hang the moon and the stars, and they gotta make sure that all this happens every day and night. And that's a problem. People are going to make mistakes. I mean, are you holding yourself up to that high of a level? And if you are, why? Are you OCD? Are you a perfectionist? Do you like to set yourself up for failure? And I think that's something we have to think about tonight, is we have to see, how do we treat our spouse? Do we treat him like a friend? Do we treat her like a friend? Do we encourage our spouse like we do our friends? And do we show them the same respect or as much respect as we do with our friends by sitting there and listening to harebrained schemes or ideas? And maybe they're not just schemes. Maybe, you know, maybe it's just all of our perception. But we don't sit there and listen them out. You know, I've had couples that have come in here for therapy where, you know, the wife or the husband came up with another idea that they wanted to do for their career. And the spouse wouldn't listen, wouldn't have one bit of it. And they really needed their spouse to give them that support. And once we were able to really create a safe dynamic here, the spouse was able to express themselves and to explain what they were trying to talk about. And almost every time, their significant other went, "Well, I didn't know that's what you were talking about. I didn't know that's where you were going with that." Why did they not know that? Because they didn't listen. Because they didn't give them any time to explain. Because right when they were trying to discuss it, the spouse jumps on them and tells them how it's ludicrous and how this is never going to work. You didn't get married to this person so you could put them down and tell them how ludicrous their ideas are. So stay tuned when we return. We'll be talking about the other two secrets to having a loving and successful and happy marriage, and how you can have the best marriage today. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about the three secrets to a loving, successful, and ultimately happy marriage. And I know that we've heard this before in several realms and several areas where people tell you how you can have a successful marriage. But tonight we're talking about authentically how to do it. Less questions, more answers, in an authentic manner. We're not talking about, oh, go on a date. Oh, go have a date together. No, we're talking about real effective things that honestly work and cut through all the BS. You know, right before the break, we were talking about how you want to treat your spouse like your friends. You want to treat them like your friends. You want to give them leeway like you do your friends. You want to encourage them like your friends. And you want to give them respect. And you want to listen to them. When they're asking you a question or wanting to talk to you, listen. I mean, y'all are married. I mean, you give your friends that respect. You'll sit at a bar and listen to your friends talk about all kinds of harebrained schemes. This is your spouse talking about something that's important to them. Okay? And you know what's funny about it is, like I was talking about earlier, I have clients that come in and we do couples counseling. And, you know, eventually, like, the couple, one of the spouses will say, "Hey, I had this idea, and I thought about changing careers or what have you." And my spouse won't listen to me. And the spouse over there, like, because it's crazy idea. But once they hear it out and they go, "Oh, my gosh, I can't believe that's what you're wanting to do." And they're like, yeah. And they're like, well, that's a great idea. And they're like, well, I've been trying to tell you this, but you don't listen to me because you already jumped to the conclusion that my idea has got to be asinine. And that's why we're talking about this tonight, is that you can have an amazing marriage if you step up to the plate and just do a few things. So the first thing is treating your spouse like your friend. The second thing that's really important that a lot of people forget to do, that a lot of people forget because as the years go by and as the things happen, as the children have, as the stresses and the strain, as you're being audited by the IRS, you forget certain things. As you're working two jobs, as you lose a job. So the second piece of advice to having a successful, happy, and healthy marriage is to stay playful and be independently happy. Do you hear me? Stay playful and be independently happy. We have to begin by realizing that a lot of times when we enter the sanctity of marriage, we forget that we're allowed to have fun. We forget that we were playful once. We forget that we were adventurous at one time. And we kind of throw all that away and we get into this routine. And this routine is helpful at some point where it keeps everybody going in this routine. You're getting up at work and you're doing your thing and you're taking care of the kids and you got all this stuff going on, right? But on the other side of that routine, it can actually kind of bring you down. I mean, eventually you get into this routine where every night you get home and y'all don't talk. You make dinner. You sit on the couch. And you watch some sort of reality show. And that's fine, and that's great, and that's good, and that's dandy. But at the same point in time, where did the adventure go? Where did the spontaneity? Where did the childlike playfulness go? And I know one thing is that sometimes there's some TV shows I like. And I like to DVR them so I can watch them whenever I have a second to do so. But I realize that a lot of times, though, when I'm not watching something necessarily that connects with me, that it seems to separate the family unit. And there's been several times when I've come home later than expected, and Greg's watching TV, and it's something I don't want to watch, and I don't know, it just starts angering me. Like, I feel like this anger breeding inside because I can't stand what's on the TV, and I start misplacing that anger onto the family unit. And I found that a lot of times, in order to engage a more playful, happy home, and this is something I don't talk about a lot, but this is something that actually works, is to play music when you're at home. Remember when y'all were first dating and y'all went out dancing? Remember when you were first dating and you played music at the house and maybe your husband played the guitar on the side and he would jam out a little bit and you'd be over there going, oh, honey, you're so good. You could have played professionally. Now, whether or not he could or not, that's not the point. But the point is that y'all didn't have the TV on 24/7 and you actually had fun like listening to music, playing games, playing cards, walking around the neighborhood, going up to a neighborhood pub, inviting friends over, taking a different walking path, you know, taking the dog out, whatever it is, it's more adventurous and you get to have adventures together and experiences. And I'll tell you one thing, in all the years of TV, I can only name one experience I've had with my significant other watching a movie or watching a TV show. Most of it, we become sideline people. We're no longer engaged in life. We're now watching people live either a fictitious life or a scripted reality show type life or a science show or what have you. But at the same time, we're not in it to win it anymore. We're watching. And that can be good in its time and place. But when this takes up a lot of time in your marriage, it takes away from that playful, adventurous self. And this can be spontaneous. And this can be really fun. The other day, I needed to go back over to my office before one of the shows and pick up some stuff. And, you know, Greg decided to go with me. And instead of taking the normal route and everything else, we decided to take an alternate way. And it's funny because I had left my car up there and it had just gotten done pouring rain and it was still kind of raining. And he was like, I don't want to drive my car. I just washed it. And I said, you know what? Let's walk. It's not that far. And for me, it's lucky that my office and my house is not too far away from each other. But we were able to walk and we were able to take another route that we had never taken before. And in that process, we walked by two different parks, one of which I've never been to that had just been redone. We walked by some new construction. That was some pretty amazing new construction. We walked and saw some other dogs and people walking their dogs. And it was the best weather we've experienced at this time of the year. And I can't tell you how long. And it wasn't that big of a deal. And yes, it didn't cost any money. But we still had fun. And it was playful. And it was adventurous because we took a new route somewhere that we always go. And we made it interesting. And that's key to keeping a marriage alive. And to keeping a marriage with a healthy pulse. You know, also, the concept of staying playful and being independently happy is that we have to realize that we individually must be happy with ourselves. We can't look towards other people to make us happy because that doesn't work. In order to be happy, we have to be happy with us. And if you're happy with you and happy where you are, then usually there's a happy marriage. Think about it. Because when was the last time you were unhappy about where you were in life or what was going on or how your career was going or something like that? And you were never happy. At home, you were very upset, maybe depressed, maybe angry. And think about it. It wasn't because of the relationship. It wasn't because of your spouse. It wasn't because of the marriage or the problems in the marriage. What was it? It was because of your happiness. Because you were unhappy or are unhappy about something that's taking place in your life. And that is so key right now, is to be able to have a checklist of what's going on in your own life and figure out what is upsetting you, what's creating sadness or depression within you, and how to rectify that. And that's key because when we're happy with ourselves, it transforms into being happy with those around us. At the same time, when we're happy with ourselves, we don't let our unhappiness, our personal unhappiness, taint the marriage. And I've been in situations before in my life where I was going through a stressful time in my life with my work, and I would come home and I didn't realize that maybe to a degree I was taking it out on my spouse, but I also misappropriated that stress and anger onto him. And I thought he was unhappy with me and angry with me. And so we would start fights all the time because I was internalizing some stress and anger about my present situation. And I was transposing that on him. And we have a tendency of doing that when we're not checking ourselves and realizing exactly where we're coming from. When we return, we'll be talking more about being happy with yourself and getting into the third concept, the third secret of how to have a healthy, happy, and ultimately successful marriage. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about the three secrets to a loving, successful, and happy marriage. You know, it's interesting because marriage is such a big deal. I mean, we get married, you're with your spouse a lot. It's a big part of your life. And a lot of times we take things for granted. We don't really think about how our marriage and other relationships in our life are similar. or how we treat certain relationships in our life one way and certain relationships another. And once we realize the ins and outs and the interesting dichotomy of the situation we find ourselves, we're able to understand what makes for a better marriage and what makes for happiness. You know, we talked about treating your spouse like a friend, and we began to talk about the concept of being playful, staying playful, and being independently happy. And when we are being playful, meaning that we're being adventurous, we're having fun, we're cracking up, we're laughing, we're able to have those fun times. I mean, marriage doesn't have to be a buttoned-up suit thing. You know, you don't have to have that suit button up, you know, where you're like almost going to choke to death, the tie's on, it's on too tight. You look like Rodney Dangerfield. You know, I get no respect. Seriously. I mean, think about it. Call me when you have no class. I was watching that the other night. Anyway, yeah, that was pretty cool where he goes back to school. I like that. That was a really awesome movie. I like Rodney Dangerfield was pretty funny. So anyway, the triple Lindy. So let's go back to this. The concept of being playful. You know, turning off that TV, listening to some music, jamming out at the house. You know, even if your spouse or you are not really that musically inclined, you can always get some drums or, you know, anything. There's all kinds of neat stuff you can do. You have like a little drum circle. I mean, come on, you can sing, you can dance. Remember when you used to cut up when you first met? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you that you have to take your wife or your husband out to an expensive dinner and this lavish date. I'm talking about having fun. Having fun with you. Having fun with them. You know, realizing why you made this commitment in the first place. Being adventurous. Being playful. And you're not having to schedule everything. And I'm not just talking about sex. I'm talking about having fun. I'm talking about getting to understand each other. Have you ever walked in the rain together? I remember one time when my husband and I ended up getting caught in the rain. And I'm not just talking about rain. This was like torrential flooding. And at first, because it was so out of our norm. And, you know, at first, because it's just not, nobody's out there going, yeah, I got rained on, I got poured on, I got soaked. What a day. You know, people are like, oh, doggone it. I got poured on and I got stuck in the office, and I feel like I'm getting a cold because my clothes are all wet, and I couldn't take care of anything, and oh my God, my life is just falling apart. No, instead of that, we actually were out in the rain, and at first, it was just like that. I was like, this is awful. This is asinine. I can't believe this. Get stuck in the rain. What an awful night. What an awful, terrible night. And all of a sudden, I was like, you know what, Ashley, what is wrong? And I started thinking about it, and I kind of started letting go. I'm already drenched, okay? I was already soaked wet. It doesn't really matter. How much more wet am I going to get? And at the same time, how much more arguing and fighting and fussing, and the B word comes to mind with the ing at the end, how much more of that do I need to do too? And so all of a sudden, I just said, you know what, Ashley, stop. Stop being in this world where everything has to be this way and everything has to happen this direction. And we started laughing. And I started singing in the rain. And it's funny how when you sing that song, Singing in the Rain, what a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. You know, I mean, think about it. And I started getting happy. And I started realizing I was always happy. I was just letting these societal limitations, but more than societal limitations, right? My own mind limitations of what's supposed to be right and what's supposed to be fun get in the way. I mean, some of the simplest, most amazing experiences happen just by being spontaneous, and it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Sometimes you can spend the most money on a dinner and go home, and it will be such a rich dinner that you get so sick, and then you go, man, I just paid X amount of money to throw up 10 times, and I feel really, really bad, and yeah, that was great. Not. When on the flip side, you could have gotten caught in the rain, gotten over your preconceived notions about the rain and what we're supposed to be doing and the hang-ups that we have, and having a blast. And that's what a successful marriage is about. And also realizing that we need to be independently happy. If you're not happy, your spouse isn't going to make you happy. Nobody can make you happy but you. Nobody. Just you. Yep. Oh, let me check it again. Yep. Just you. Yeah, you're the only one that can make yourself happy. Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yes. So think about it. We're the only ones that can actually personally make ourselves happy. So we have to be happy when we come into a marriage. We have to check ourselves. And we have to be honest with ourselves. I've come home from work sometimes where I'm down in the dumps. And I think most people can relate with me. I mean, can you relate with me? You've been there before. Stressed out. Upset. Maybe it's financial issues. Maybe financially you're just overwhelmed. And you're like, man, if this stuff will just happen. I mean, I'm working my butt off. I'm working 60, 70 hour weeks. I'm working on the weekends. And I'm putting in the sweat equity. And I just got to see something happen. And you come home with that. And you just kind of feel beaten down. And no matter what your spouse says, there's no smile. You gotta create that smile within yourself. And I know that sometimes I think that we place a lot of burden on ourselves. And then other times we feel like if we're going through difficult times that we have to look angry. Think about it. There was an episode a long time ago on Seinfeld and it was so funny. So George Costanza is working for the New York Yankees ball club. And I think it was Mr. Wilhelm or something like that was his boss. And he had all this work he had to do. And every time the boss walked in, he was just like, oh, jeez. And everywhere he went, he just had that attitude. And everybody's like, man, you must be really busy. You must be really stressed out. And I think sometimes we take ourselves too seriously. I think sometimes instead of reconciling the fact that, yes, indeed, we're in a stressful situation. We don't know what's going to happen. Hey, what if the IRS is auditing you? And you're stressed out. You've already given them all the documents. You did that 2 years ago. Back when you actually did your taxes. And now they're auditing you from 2 years back. And you're like, I've already done all of this. And you're about to pull your hair out because you know what? You don't know where some of those receipts are anymore. It's been years. And we have to realize that when we take these issues into our marriage and we put it out there, we have a tendency of not realizing it, but we actually put it on our spouse. So after a few minutes of doing that, we forget that it's the IRS that's stressing us out. And we actually think that it's our spouse that's stressing us out. Our spouse doesn't understand us. Our spouse is rude and out of control. And so we have to realize that in order to be happy, in order to have happiness in our life, we have to check the issues we have. We have to know that, yes, indeed, we do have responsibilities. And some of these responsibilities are massive and can feel like a lot of weight on your shoulders. But for a few minutes a day, we've got to somehow or not shelf those issues and see all the goodness and qualities that our spouse is there and offers us and vice versa. Because I think that's what's so important, because a lot of times we don't think about what we have until it's gone. And I know why that is. And I know why we do this. And I know why society has become that way. And I'm going to share that with you right after this break, because I don't want you to fall in the trap. And if you fall in this trap, this is when we have divorces, this is when we have problems, and this is when we look back and go, oh God, I wish I would have done things differently. When we return, we'll be talking about that trap, so stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
You could be my luck.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we've been talking about the three secrets to a loving, successful, and happy marriage. And you know, right now I want to talk about something. I want to talk about the third secret. The third secret is so important because I don't want you to fall trap. I don't want you to fall in the trap that most of us fall into. This trap has been lined with friends of mine. I've been to so many weddings and later on been around so many people who are divorced. And a lot of them, I believe, are divorced because of this third thing. So I don't want you to fall in the trap. I don't want you to fall in the trap that society has created for long-lasting relationships. And what I mean by that is that pop culture and music that's out there, not all of it, but a lot of it, doesn't help the marriage. A lot of it doesn't help any type of long-term commitment. Because a lot of the music out there is about love lost. It's about, I miss you, missing you, can't get over you. I keep thinking about the past and when we were together and how I didn't help you out or take you to the doctor's office or I didn't take care of you, boo, and all this stuff. And you know what? That's the key, is that most of this music is about not taking care of what you have when you have it. And later on, you lose it, right? We lose it. Hence why half of marriages end in divorce. We lose it, and then we're crying in our beer. Because we start thinking, well, crap. Maybe if I would have taken care of my marriage, maybe if I would have treated my spouse with more respect, maybe if I would have treated my spouse more like a friend than a drill sergeant, maybe if I would have treated my spouse better by listening to what they had to say, by caring about them, by showing our care, by not just running off on them going, oh, this is another harebrained scheme of yours. Oh, no, you want to sell Arbon? Oh, Jesus, honey, come on. Think about it. And yeah, some of the ideas that our spouses and some of my ideas have been kind of crazy harebrained schemes, but at the same point in time, we listen to our friends, don't we? Why can't we listen to our spouses? And this is one of those things that's interesting because once we do that, once we show respect and once we encourage our spouses and also give them leeway, not holding them to such a high standard where there's no way in heck that they'll survive. There's no way in heck they'll keep that standard because nobody can really, because you know what? You're setting yourself up for failure. You're actually setting the marriage up for failure. And why would you do that? Why would anybody do that? Huh. Well, you know why? As I think that at the heart of things, I think at the heart of the matter, we're so used to relationships that we see on TV. We're so used to and so accustomed to Hollywood relationships where they're together 1 minute and broken up the next. We're so used to these emotional, tumultuous relationships that we see plastered all over the news that we get used to it that if our relationship isn't dramatic and full of drama, then we must have a problem. If we're not fighting like the Real Housewives, well, then something might be wrong with us. What about the music? You rarely hear a song that talks about the beauty of a family. And how great it is to show respect to your spouse. We rarely hear that kind of stuff. We hear about the hoes. We hear about the problems. We hear about more money equals more problems. But a lot of the music, a lot of the heavy-hitting music out there is about missing somebody and losing the love of your life. And why is that? Why is so much music out there about losing the love of your life? And I started thinking about the other day. And I think I could do a whole 3-hour show on this. Because you have to think about the people writing the songs. You have to think about the culture creating the culture. If you're learning not to love, or you'd better not, or better not, better yet, you don't know how to love, then you're going to create music about losing love or losing out or angry music too. And the more we ingest this in this pop culture, the more we have a tendency of taking our life for granted because we feel as though everything's got to kind of end in this dramatic fashion. I have friends that go through the divorce process. They go through the divorce process and through the divorce process. Well, this is the best thing we could have done, Ashley. You know that because we're both really happy now because, you know, we both are still friends. We still get along real well. Taking care of our son or taking care of our daughter. And this is really working out better than we could ever imagine. But guess what? Eventually somebody gets in a relationship and gets remarried. All of a sudden the tune changes. It's completely different. It doesn't sound like that at all. Not at all. One person's upset and sad that the love of their life is gone. And the wild thing about it is that a lot of times in life, I agree that there are some divorces that possibly need to happen. You know, when you're dealing with somebody that might have an issue, and borderline's a big one too, and I've talked about that on several shows, where when you're dealing with somebody that just can't love, you're not going to be the one that introduces them to love and opens the pearly gates of love. You're not going to be that end-all, be-all saint of love for them. And I know that we all want to think that way sometimes, but it's just going to kill you in the process. But sometimes there are relationships we have to let go of. But sometimes, on the other hand, we let go of viable relationships without thinking that much about it until it's too late. We let go of relationships that we could have actually worked through. And we don't really realize that till later on until we get in another relationship. And we look back at the old relationship with fondness because we go, oh my God, if I would have known that my previous marriage was a heck of a lot easier than where I am now, I might not have jumped ship. I might have stayed in this ship and made the most out of it. Better word, canoe. Let's go with canoe. I would have stayed in this canoe and figured out how to roll with the punches, deal with what I had to do. And I think we have to realize that. We have to sit there and look and say, how much of pop culture and how much of music and how much of our friends' situations are getting in the way of us living a happy, healthy marriage? And I think a lot of it is letting go of the drama. We don't need drama. Drama is not needed in a quality, happy marriage. You don't need to scream and fight. There's ways of getting your point across. And the first way of dealing with that is by listening. To listen to each other is golden. When we listen to one another, it shows we care. When we show we care, we usually don't have the arguments we would otherwise. And we're able to understand where the other person's coming from. Remember, when was the last time that you and your friend, a good friend of yours, were out and about and you had an argument and it wasn't until you talked it out that you go, oh, this is crazy. What were we arguing about? Same thing here. A marriage is really no different than a friendship. It shouldn't be. I mean, a marriage is kind of like, to me, in my head, is that you kind of marry the person that's your best friend that you don't want to ever have anything get in the way of. And that's what I did, is I married the person that I love. I married my best friend. And I have a lot of great, good, awesome, amazing, beautiful best friends, but I married someone that's my best friend. And if I really married my friend, then you got to treat him like a friend. You got to treat him like a friend. And we got to let go of all these sad love songs rocking my brain again. We got to let go of that. We got to let go of all these songs about how, you know, hey, I'm sorry I let you go. You know, I'm going to play it like I'm Jordan in 92. We got to let go of this stuff. We got to look at our relationship and say, hey, we're the ones that can create a happy relationship. We're the ones that can create a successful marriage. And I'm going to do this by arming myself with the knowledge that this is my friend. And I'm going to encourage them and I'm going to treat them as a friend. And I'm going to give them as much leeway as I give my friends. And I'm going to also listen to them like I listen to my friends. I mean, when was the last time you were out with your friends and they were talking about something interesting and you were like listening to them like you're at bated breath? Like you were listening to them like every single syllable they said you heard. When was the last time you did that to your spouse? I'll give you a second to think about that because it might take a while. Seriously, when was the last time you actually, you know, cared enough to listen and actually really listen? Try it out. I bet you if you do it, you're going to see some awesome results. Showing that you care, treating them like a friend, encouraging them, respecting them, okay, showing respect, as well as having that playfulness, being playful. You are a playful person. You're a child at heart. Bring that child back. Y'all have fun together, running in the rain. Y'all have fun. Maybe y'all go to Six Flags. Maybe you go do something fun. Just you two. Be that kid again. Be that. It might not even have anything to do with when y'all first got married. This could be what you were doing when you were 6 years old, being a kid again. And you and your spouse actually being kids together. And that's what matters, as well as being independently happy. Remember that you got to be happy with yourself, or the marriage is just going to seem just painful. Because it's hard to see where our happiness or our unhappiness ends and their happiness or their unhappiness begins. And in order to begin to become happy and healthy, we have to recognize what is happening in our life that we want to change, what's taking place that we can actually kind of massage to change and to get to another level, or what we need to do to make a change to create that happiness. And in turn, realize that as we're going through this process, we can still be happy and not to lose sight of that, but also to realize that there is kind of an ebb and flow, and that it's not with the spouse, it's actually within us. And sometimes when we're going through that painful process or we're going through an issue on our own, the best thing you can do is to tell your spouse about it. Let them know where you're at. Don't let them try to guess it. Don't let them try to mind read you. On the flip side, don't take it out on them. Just tell them what's going on. And you know what? If they're a good spouse and they care about you, they're going to leave you some slack, and they're going to know that maybe if you come out fighting or you get a little angry or irritated, that it's because of something you're dealing with. But you've been honest with them because they deserve for your honesty, because they're your friend. Think about that. You also want to stay adventurous. You want to stay playful. And you don't want to fall in that trap of falling into the concept of society of how, you know, we're not going to love until we lost. Until the person's gone and away. We're not going to do that. We're not going to wait like that anymore. We're going to love now. And we're going to love now unconditionally. And we're going to give it all we have. And we're going to be the best. Because you know what? Because we care. And because we realize that this isn't a competition. This isn't about who's right and who's wrong, or who's smarter, or who's stupider. This isn't about whose idea is better and whose idea is dumb. This is about, this is your spouse and this is who you pick to live with. This should be your good friend. You should treat them with respect and dignity. And the more dignity and respect we give our spouse, guess what? The more dignity and respect we get ourselves. Think about it. It's absolutely amazing. Because as we bring up other people, we too are brought up as well. We too go to another level of success and happiness. So stay tuned and remember that your marriage is awesome. And there might be some issues and some pitfalls, but you know what? You can overcome that by seeing your marriage from a different perspective, by seeing them as your friend and not your foe, and not someone that has to live up to a standard that nobody could live up to. Always more answers and less questions. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in 3 shakes.